one of the all-time favorite shows.
Hello, and welcome to episode 65 of Because You Were Home.
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
It is 2022, guys.
Woo, woo. That's right. We cured coronavirus. We did it.
All I can think of when I was thinking of this episode was coming on and just being like, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
and with my vast Taylor Swift knowledge, I'm like, yes, that's right, yes, queen.
I was kind of thinking, I was like, you're either going to be like, who, or like mildly ashamed of me.
No, you sing.
Thank you. So this is our first episode of 2022. We were due to do it a little bit earlier, but factors of Christmas, New Year's, a lot of work for poor Emer, a hospital stay for me, and then getting COVID.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a regular day.
It was just
it was a lot. It was
the Christmas and New Year's spirit that we needed. So we're sacking that all into 2021, and we're going forward. And by going forward, we're looking back at the movies of 2021.
Nice.
So there were a lot of movies this year that we were to look forward to, and that kind of came out. Again, the experience, I suppose, for moviegoers, especially within Ireland, but it's some of the UK, because they still had a bit of restrictions during the summer and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm pretty sure the US was kind of open up fairly, so they wouldn't have experienced it as much as us this year. But we really didn't get to see many movies.
Blessed to see three together.
Yeah, we were very lucky. So again, this year's experience of horror movies has mostly been on the small screen.
Yeah.
Thankfully, some of it was on the big screen. I would say one of the best movies of this year, and definitely the worst movie of this year, we saw on the big screen.
Yeah.
So
and the best nostalgic one we got to watch as well.
And like the best movie of all time
was on 100%
as well, which was really exciting. We got to go see Scream, which was amazing. But yeah, so there were a load of movies that came out, and were kind of like really like highly anticipated movies as well. So you had Spiral, which was really, really highly anticipated. I know that neither of us got to see that in the cinema. I haven't actually seen it.
No, me neither. But I'm not a major fan of that franchise. I've seen a few.
Yeah.
And that's it for me.
I actually think me suggesting we should do the entirety of Saw before Spiral came out was the kind of thing that's made me realize, oh, actually, as much as Saw is iconic and I totally get it, it's just not for me. And I think you were the same.
Yeah. That really messed with me. Like, it's I really, like, obviously I love horror. That's why we do this podcast. But and I don't mind slashers, because the more slashers I watch, with just loving the genre and watching stuff to do with certain themes that we're discussing, you know, I'm like, oh, it's not so bad. Especially 80s slashers, I find are perfectly okay. This whole different set of circumstances. And I know that's why they say it goes into like shock and torture porn and all that sort of stuff. And I'm just like, it's very inventive. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. The kills are very inventive, but you're just like, unnecessary.
Definitely. It's on Prime. I just saw it come up in the last couple of weeks. So I'm definitely going to give it a watch, but it might be with a pillow in front of my face.
Yeah. I think I'd be more not watching it than watching it.
Yeah. So then we had Old was really highly anticipated. Again, I didn't see that one. Last Night in Soho, Malignant, The Unholy.
I heard Malignant and The Unholy were
shocking.
Right.
Yeah.
I actually know, and I might tell you this later on, Grace. I know how Malignant ends, and I'm so glad I didn't watch it, because I'd have been like, the fuck? Like, it was hilarious how it ended. It was so stupid.
Because the ads for it made me really want to see it. And again, because of the cinema and stuff like that, like, we just haven't been able to go, which is really annoying when there were so many kind of like movies that were coming out that you were like, oh, I'd love to see that. And like, there was actually legit horror. Warren just walked into the room there, and I don't know why I expected it to be one of the cats. And when I saw his hand come around, it scared the shit out of me.
So I'm not surprised.
So it's quite funny. Then we had obviously Halloween Kills, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, Candyman, Army of the Dead, and like a really big one was the Fear Street trilogy.
And even though I've got Netflix, I haven't watched it, but I think if I was to ever watch one of them, I'd probably watch, is it 1664? The very last one?
It's definitely in the
1600s. 16 something something.
Yeah,
that was definitely one. And one I missed out on watching, it just came in towards the end of the year. It's an A24 film called Lamb with Naomi Rapace. And it's basically a husband and wife out in Iceland. And I think there's, you know, with A24, it's more spooky and twisted mentally kind of thing. And I love how it's just a poster of Naomi Rapace holding a lamb. And you're like, that's it.
Yeah.
And make of that what you will.
About that.
Yeah. And I think, was it The Green Knight? May have come out earlier this year because of 2021. Because I can't remember if something came, I think it was meant to come out in late 2020, but came out in 2021. And you know, like, now you're not sure when it actually came out because I didn't watch it in a cinema.
But this is it. And stop. I actually had to Google when something came out because I watched Promising Young Woman. And I was like, surely that was 2021. And it turns out that was actually like April 2020.
Which one was that?
So Promising Young Woman is one that my mum rang me about and was like, don't watch this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
So I did watch it recently.
It's good.
Okay. This comes with a warning. So I think everybody knows the subject. Like, it's 2020. And this girl is, she'll be in a nightclub. The nice guy brings her home and he's like, I just want to make sure you're getting home okay. And then the whole premise is she's actually not drunk and she's kind of proving that even though it's the nice guy, they're not always nice.
Could be in front.
Yeah, so it is desperately sad. It's absolutely amazing. It's far darker than I ever thought it could be. And I knew the subject. And it, like, I was actually talking to my sister about it and she was like, I watched it and it doesn't make me feel any better about being a woman or having girls. She was like, it actually made me feel quite cold. And I was like, yeah. Because I really thought it was going to be this like, woohoo.
Oh, yeah.
Doing it for the girls. But it's just terribly sad and depressing. Yeah, it's a fantastic movie though, and I absolutely love her. But yeah, not 2021, unfortunately.
Oh, but that's what I mean. It's just like, in all honesty, 2020 to 2021, and I really hope that this doesn't happen with 2022, but it's like 2020 ? Because it could all be the same.
Massively just merges into one.
Oh yeah.
Like completely just like this blob.
What is it that the joke of 2022 is 2020, like Roman numeral 2, like this is the second time of 2020. I'm like, I can't do it again.
No, I've decided this is it now. It's over now soon.
Well, as I've said to you, well, I've said to people listening, like, I work in a hospital.
Yeah.
And this is now early January. Mm-hmm. So there's word from an infectious disease consultant that possibly with Omicron, that this is it. This is the worst last, as in worst is in numbers wise.
Because
it's not the worst on your body. But there is talk that this is it. Due to the large volumes, I can only speak for Ireland, but due to the large volumes of people getting on a daily basis, that you're not everyone's going to need to be hospitalized, but that this will be the last wave, the last new variant, fingers bloody crossed. But because we'll all inadvertently have herd immunity.
Yeah. And as well, apparently this is the way the old Spanish flu went before it left.
Oh, it diluted itself out before
Now, these are all things that I'm absolutely grasping to. And I'm like, this has to be the end. And
this doctor also seems to think that come maybe March, April, it could be like a whole different ballgame. Like, it could be like, you know, sadly, everyone, you may have it and not know you have it. You could have an asymptomatic version, or you could get what could be like a raging cold, but you're not like needing an inhaler or hospitalization.
I'm very glad vary that from I got person this to person.
But yes, Jesus, yeah. He's saying that, and honestly, if that like ran into like March or April, you're just looking at like still 2 years of this like destroying everyone's world.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to get us to...
That's the real horror.
I know. Oh, okay. Oh, well, then that's fine. Cool. What was I going to say? I just want to get us to Dracula's castle.
Woo-woo.
I can't. Yeah,
going to sleep with some bones, and hopefully that doesn't mean an old man.
I feel really weird.
An old dead guy than an old...
Yeah. I feel really weird that I'm like, I want my first girly trip out of this to be to Transylvania. Woo!
Yeah, honestly, I've heard even now the numbers in Romania are like fairly low.
Well, easy, I've got it now. So I'm good for 6 months.
Yeah, you're good.
So I'll go anywhere. So this year definitely was a year for, 2021 was definitely a year for horrors. I know myself, I made a wee list of some of the ones I watched, and I know I'm going to have missed quite a few that I've watched and I didn't put on this. But so I had Wrong Turn 2021, The Deep House, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. I'm kind of cheating on that one because I did have to turn it off.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Not that, like, I didn't have to, but I think it wasn't the case that I turned it off because I didn't like it, but I think I had to go and do something and I just never finished it.
Oh, you're not missing out. They definitely have lost the run of themselves. And that's a film that lost its potency after the first film. I was genuinely scared after the first film and I've been nothing but disappointed ever since.
And I actually quite liked the continuation that they did before.
It's not the worst.
This one just didn't do it for me. So Candyman, then Army of the Dead, Halloween Kills, Till Death with Megan Fox, Blood Red Sky, which was one I didn't watch the whole way through. I think it's a German one, on an airplane. There's a lot of hype about it, but it just wasn't a thing. And it was also before I realized that you can watch dubbed versions of anything on Netflix.
Oh, I'm that person who I'll go straight to dubbed because I need to be seeing what's going on. I can't be like reading subtitles.
See, that's it. I was just like, I can't do this. So I might give it another shot. Then the Fear Street trilogy. So I watched the first one. There was a lot of hype about the Fear Street trilogy, and I kind of felt weird about saying that I didn't love it as much as I thought I would. I had to do something and didn't finish the second one, so didn't go back to it and haven't even attempted the third one yet. I watched Sun as well at the start of the year. That was really good, and it's by an Irish director, and Slax. And then one that actually I watched very recently, the Forever Purge.
Oh yeah. It's good.
It's very good. It's actually one of the ones I'll be talking about today.
That's a prequel, is it?
No.
No.
No, we're continuing on.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The one before this was the first Purge.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Forever Purge was actually supposed to be out in 2020, but it was pushed back because of the pandemic. So, yeah. So, Emer, what's the first movie you're going to talk about for 2021?
So I watched a fair few of what you listed. Mm-hmm. And then I'd thrown in a few. I had also watched Werewolves Within and Wolf of Snow Hollow and Boys from County Hell, which was an Irish film. Bloody brilliant. But yeah, I'd seen a few of the ones that you had also seen. But I'm going to do my highest of highs and then lowest of lows for my two films. So fantastic. My highest of highs was Candyman.
Yeah.
And this was a film where I had originally seen the 1992 film, I'd say possibly again, when we were probably way too young. I'd say I was maybe only 13 or 14. When you're at that teenage age, when you're all doing stupid dares in front of a mirror and sleepovers.
Yeah.
And I think this kind of spawned off, I don't know who I watched Candyman with originally, but I think I someone had got it from us from a video rental. And I, because it's on, or at least it definitely was on Netflix earlier on this year, I rewatched it before I knew we were going to the cinema to watch it. And I love this film more than I thought I would, because I was just it's a great film. But it's just, I think it's because they managed to make it so modern and so relevant.
Yes.
To what's happening now, without it being in your face, it's still so subtle. And you've got Jordan Peele, who is originally meant to write and direct it. And they actually have a Naya DaCosta, the first Black female director, that went up high, in the box office.
Yeah.
And so Jordan Peele, he was a co-writer in the end. And I think this came from his production, Monkey Paw. I'm not 100% sure if I'm right with that. But it's a very modern sense of the film where it still goes back to the original. It's got visually, it's got a great piece where it does the cutout, story at the paper cutout.
It's so gorgeous. It's like that Smirnoff ad.
Yes, with your man in the forest.
Judder man.
Yeah.
The Judder man, my dear.
But so we have our main protagonist. We have Yahya Abdul Mateen II, and I've seen him in other things, and I'm just I really hope I haven't butchered his name. This guy is an up-and-coming actor, and he played this role phenomenally, because it's kind of you get the vibe that even though they're living not too far away from Cabrini Green, it's all about how these guys are kind of affluent Black Americans. He's there with his girlfriend, the girlfriend's brother, he's a real estate agent, and he helped them get this really nice apartment.
Yeah.
And Anthony is an artist. And he had she also works in, she's a curator for an art gallery. And she kind of helped him get his, that's how they met. And they dress amazingly, and everything's just so beautiful. And
they're so fucking cool.
Yes. So his girlfriend is Brianna, and her brother is Troy. And Troy and his boyfriend come over to into their apartment. It just starts at a lovely setting where they're having dinner. And it's when Troy brings up about Cabrini Green, how it's barely even Cabrini Green anymore because they're trying to gentrify the area. Sorry. And it's that's a plot that comes up in the film, which is also something that, now, again, I can't comment. I'm a white Irish girl, but that I have heard is that Black people are suffering from, in the original sense, in the 30s and 40s, they get pushed into these estates by white people so that they can have their own housing estates and suburbs. And then as overpopulation happens, next thing you know, there's these gentrification of Black suburb areas and then they kick the Black people out. So, yeah. Like I said, this is coming from a white Irish girl. and just going by what I have seen in documentaries, and it also is in a lot of media and gets said around a lot. So this is definitely like one of the underlying currents through this. So Troy at the dinner party brings up a story about what happened in Cabrini Green, and what the story is that they're talking about is basically what happened in the first film, where we had Helen, who was the student who wanted to do a piece on urban legends and on the Candyman, and basically how the legend was that she had sacrificed the baby. Like, it got twisted. It's not the fact that she rescued the baby and she burnt in it to she sacrificed herself to save the baby, like, because basically due to the circumstances of the 1992 Candyman film, they thought that she was a serial killer at that stage. But it was Candyman killing everyone with her because he wanted to drive her to wanting to die as well, so they could be together. So, but basically, Anthony and Brianna have like never heard of the story before. And so Anthony's like, he's got a chance to have another art exhibition, and everyone's kind of pushing him, what's your next best thing? And he's kind of like, he comes up with something, and then they're like, oh, this is very much so like your previous work, like, have you not got anything new? So I think he looks into the gentrification of Black America by white people, and so he wants to go to Cabrini Green and try and see if he can get the essence of this Candyman legend. And so he goes in, he gets a lot of photographs, and then he meets a man called William, who tells him of the story of a man who was feeding kids candy and he had a hook for an arm. And the full story of what happens with that man and the boy, who was a younger version of William, it turns out, but like this, it goes throughout the whole film, and I'm not going to really go into it too much because, again, I know you're the same, Grace. We're very conscious of the fact that not everyone gets to see these films straight away now, because there isn't the straight up access to going to the cinema. So I will keep this kind of, I'll curtail it. It's basically Anthony trying to get the story of it. And he has this really raw anger. He takes on the urban legend of Candyman. There's some photographs which he's turned into like really dark art. And then he also has a mirror with a clipping of the Cabrini Green 1992 incident with Helen, and like, you know, say my name. It's kind of like the great tagline for the film, just say my name. And then you have like in it, a teenage girl does it, and she goes back to her school. I think she gets some girls to do it. And it's great. Like, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but just saying it's a really cool way of how you see the kills happening.
Yes.
Because it's like, only if you're looking at a mirror can you see the Candyman. And if you happen to be near a mirror, that's how he can get you. But if you happen to not be near a mirror, then you're gonna be shit out of luck. But you see it through. Oh, it was so smart the way that they did it.
Yes.
And I have to say, like, Brianna and her brother Troy are like real smart to be like, don't be meddling with this. Like they're kind of like, there's a scene where Brianna she's looking for Anthony, and someone is just saying to her, going, come on down these stairs. And she just goes, nope. And no one tells her to come down, but she like, it's the only other door she could go down is to like, the light I think is flickering. And she's just like, oh, hell no. And you're just like, yeah, yes, freaking yes.
Yeah.
You don't have to always go down that dark corridor, down the stairs, upstairs. You hear a noise, you don't have to investigate. So yeah, this film, I have to say, I feel like as if anyone who likes horror should really watch it. And I just think as well, it'd be another good cultural impact film. And it's great to see. I know Jordan Peele would have helped co-write it, but just after he had done like Get Out and Us, for someone else to be able to be like, well, I have this idea that I want to take forward. And so obviously Jordan Peele would have helped with the story, and he obviously had something ready because it was going to be his film, but obviously someone else could kind of run with that and directed their own version. And I'm loving that it was a woman.
Yeah.
And so this is also, out of all the, there was three Candyman films, and this is obviously like a spiritual sequel to just the first film. But out of all the Candyman films, this is the first one where it's a black protagonist. Like all the other films, there was a white person come in and, you know, I'm not saying anything against that. I'm not, but I'm just saying like, it's just very smartly done.
And yeah, it's a really great movie. And especially like, I just loved even the kind of thought behind his art piece and how he does it and everything. It was just all very clever. And it's really beautiful as well.
Yeah.
It's a really gorgeous movie.
Like, and there was like a few funny moments in it. Like there's a part in it where
funny moments.
I think it was someone's facial reaction. I can't remember what it was, but just the two of us just like burst out laughing in the cinema.
It was just a really clever, good movie. Like it was like, yes. And even if like the way you're saying, if you're a really big horror movie fan, definitely watch it. Even if you're not,
yes,
this is one actually, of the ones that you could sit down and go, this is just a deadly movie.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think it's a real, it's a very well-rounded film.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how someone could get it. I don't know if it's on any streaming. I haven't done my research fully into how I'd one can get hold of it.
You'd be able to rent it on YouTube.
100%.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think it's on any streaming as of yet, because it's not even been out a year. But by God, rent it off YouTube. You will not be disappointed.
Definitely won't regret it.
And what's your film? It's your first choice.
So I picked two movies that I quite liked, because the one that I hated the most out of the year is the one that you're going to talk about. So I was like, we'll have a good conversation anyway. I think other than Candyman, this would have been my top pick for 2021. And it was the kind of reimagining of Wrong Turn.
I actually never got around to watching this yet, but I think it's on Netflix, isn't it?
I don't know where I watched it. Possibly it is, or I rented it on YouTube. I don't think I was going to, I don't know how I ended up watching it, but I'm really, really glad I did. I think I had watched Wrong Turn, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Recently enough, I watched it again this year. And I actually haven't seen any of the other ones. But this one is the first one since the first movie not to go direct to like video. So this
was
in the cinema as well. So basically it follows a group of friends who are hiking the Appalachian Trail, and they're kind of come upon this, like, instead of where it was before, it was this kind of like exploitation movie. This is a lot more culty. So ding 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 straight away. Like, yeah. So they definitely are these kind of like, it's not as like Sonny Beam as the others, if you get me. There's a lot more of a kind of civilized, although it's totally barbaric, there is like a civilized undertone with kind of their living situation and everything like that. So there's a couple of friends, again, like the dynamics are really good. Like there's the kind of main couple who are together, and it's just a really good movie. I really liked it. I didn't know what to expect going into it. I definitely didn't know it was going to go the way that it did. I really expected it to be almost just a remake of the first one. I didn't see it going the way it did, kind of more down the cult line, and obviously I won't go too far into it. And as well, like, somebody might watch it and go, oh, I didn't really get the whole cult thing from it. It's a little bit Vikings, it's a little bit it's quite cool. I would say there's a bit of like the remake of Friday the 13th in there.
Yeah.
The Texas Chainsaw, obviously Wrong Turn. But all of those movies that I absolutely love, put together, but without being, you know, the way you'd kind of go, like, do you remember the remake of House of Wax? And then there was the Friday the 13th remake as well.
Yes.
And the Friday the 13th remake was one of the guys from Supernatural was going to find his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of House of Wax was, again, like, and I say this with all of the love in the world because these are my favorite movies, but it kind of had like that cheesy kind of element to it.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't have that, but it is along the same lines of it. And it does, it's not that it doesn't have it and it goes too serious so that you're kind of like, oh, you should think about it and all that stuff. But it just was like, it was one of those movies that you would go, it's a really good horror movie without that kind of guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
On top of it, do you know? Whereas I think actually the whole of Wrong Turn is probably one of those movies where you go, oh, I love Wrong Turn. It's a bit of a guilty pleasure, do you know? But this one, I just thought it was a real standalone movie. And it really like, it, a sign of a good movie to me is I didn't pick my phone up. You know, I
could. Oh, that's a very hard thing to achieve for anybody right now.
Yeah, especially me. Like, I'm just desperate. Like, I'm always on my phone. When people turn around, they say, oh, I had a couple of hours of like screen time. It's really embarrassing. I'm like, genuinely, I'd probably be 12. Like, it's constant.
Yeah.
Always on. So yeah, it was really good. And I really liked all the characters in it. There was just a lot to be said. Like, there was a really good mix of characters as well. Like, they had like characters, like everything just seemed easy. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a movie where they were putting somebody in for diversity, or it wasn't that they were putting an LGBTQ plus character in. It was all just really natural. They were just people. This was just exactly the friendships that they had and stuff like that. It was just a very natural movie, and you kind of got to know the people. And I thought it was great. It was really good. Definitely recommend it. 110%. So it's not connected to any of the original kind of Wrong Turns at all. Although it's the seventh in the series, it's more of a reboot. It's just, I really liked it. And one thing I totally did miss, but apparently there's Easter eggs for the entire franchise throughout the film. So I'd love to actually watch the other movies and go back to it. I really, really liked it. And in Australia, instead of just Wrong Turn, it's advertised as Wrong Turn, The Foundation.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you go. But again, if it wasn't on a streaming site, I'd definitely watch it by renting it on YouTube. In the world,
because like that, it was one of those ones where like I wondered, was it too much hype? Was it gonna be?
Yeah,
because like most people, when we were teenagers, when this first came out, we all saw it in the cinema, and then like it was good, it was, because there were so many twists of getting out, getting pulled back in, having to go rescue someone else, so like it wasn't as straightforward as you get captured, you escape, because they, you know. And I liked that first Wrong Turn film. And like that, it's lovely. It's early 2000s. It's, you know, exactly what it's about.
The cast was great in it. Like, if they were so relevant, do you know? Yeah.
And so I was worried about this one. I was like, just worried that it was going to completely step away from it so much, or just like turn into itself so much where it's just going to be like OTT. But no, I watched a trailer of it. I'm very intrigued. And after what you're saying now, I think I definitely will try to watch it. Actually, do you know what? I think it's on Netflix because I think it's on my list of things to watch.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, no, definitely go and give it a watch. I actually think I'll rewatch it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Random idea, but at some stage, we're going to have to do some sort of a watch along.
100%.
Yeah, because like we need some interaction with people. So if people's interested with that, message us to see, would you like to hear our voices interrupting a film that you'd like to watch? Tell us how you really feel, people.
I know that Aaron and Josh, Aaron from Class Horrorcast and Josh from Action Movie Book Club, they do watch alongs quite a lot.
They did Batman and Robin there recently, and I fucking love that film.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they do like kind of regularly enough, like almost every Tuesday. I could be wrong, but yeah, it seems to be on a Tuesday. Maybe it's monthly. But yeah, definitely go on to theirs. I've been on to one of Aaron's watch-alongs before, and they're brilliant. They're really
Great. There's a podcast, one of the very first podcasts I think I ever listened to, donkeys years ago. Comedy Button. And it was something that Chris had gotten me onto. And what they used to do as well was one of their episodes would be a watch along, and they would tell you what DVD they got, if it was Blu-ray or whatever, or director's cut, so you knew how long or whatever it was. And they'd be watching it like whilst you're watching it, and you'd have to kind of turn your volume down a bit because it's definitely got to be a film you've seen before. But like, I think I've seen their version of Mortal Kombat at least two or three times because it's just so funny. And it's just like four or five guys talking whilst watching the film, and you're kind of watching and listening and following along, but you're more listening to what they're saying. So I do like this idea.
Yes, 100%. So Emer, the main question is, do you want me to continue on with my second one, and then we can go on to the heavy discussion?
Yeah, I mean, can you tell I'm like just pointing it off? I'm like, oh.
Or do you want to go on to the heavy discussion and we can have my last one as kind of like a palate cleanser?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We could end on some sort of hope for the what was 2021. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. From the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. We have Halloween Kills, people.
Wah, wah, wah.
This was a total fucking letdown of a film. However, some people love it. So it's a Marmite film in my eyes. Yeah. Both of us were extremely looking forward to this. We watched it when we were in Manchester. We braved fucking going to it where like people aren't, you know, where you don't necessarily have to wear a mask. And I think the scary thing,
there were people sitting beside us, there were people in front of us, there were people behind us. It was so weird.
And the scariest thing during that film was just that someone was coughing in the cinema, not the film. So this is a part of the Up to Date trilogy where they basically gone from the first one, and then it's just these three of the reboot, I'd imagine. So it's like, this is, there's going to be four in total. Yeah. So, and basically after the first Halloween 2018, you had the big showdown between Laurie and Michael. She was fucking kicking ass. She was getting some licks in, she was getting stabbed. She was like kicking ass. And then they trap Michael. It's brilliant because you like, you think her daughter, played by Judy Greer, you think, oh, she's like totally against her, until it's like her instincts from how she was raised kick in. And then she traps Michael, she's like, gotcha. They trap him in, and then they set the house on fire. And then just as they're being carted away to go to the ambulance because Laurie's been stabbed, and you just see this fire engine coming, and then they're like, let it burn, let it burn. And I'm not gonna lie, there was a scene in EastEnders where Peggy Mitchell, this is a British soap opera that's been gone for like since 1985 for people in America. So there's this woman, she was a pot-sized woman, you know, tiny, pint-sized is the word, not pot-sized. whatever fuck pot-sized is. The size
of a posh.
Posh. She was this tiny woman. She was a owner of a pub called the Queen Victoria. And in one scene, it caught fire. And the hammiest of hammy acting, she was like, let it burn, let it burn, in her London accent. So when Laurie Strode was like, let it burn, I'm like, ooh, Peggy Mitchell vibes.
Oh, hey, Peggy.
Hey, Pegs. Your hair looks better when you're in EastEnders.
Waiting for the Mitchell brothers to come in and be like,
or more, could you geez that? Let me just go rough you up a bit. Apologies to our English fans. But anyway, so yeah, they're all like, eh, no, let him burn, whatever the fuck. And then Laurie goes to hospital, and then it's the one really good thing I feel like if they did in this, in Halloween Kills, was they brought back the two kids who Laurie had in the house. So she was babysitting, and then she was helping her friend out by babysitting the girl. Yeah. What was the girl's name?
I just know it's Kyle Richards.
Yeah, it was Tommy, and it was whoever, Susie? No? Ah, fuck it. But yeah, played by the beautiful Kyle Richards. And so they bring back people who are originally in it. And then they also, it was reshot well in a way where they wanted to go back to 1978. And the way that they filmed it looked really cool. They got someone who was like, I think a carpenter, and superimposed like with CGI. And no, actually it was more makeup. They made him look like Dr. Loomis. Creepily good makeup.
Yeah, that actually was quite scary. We were both like, whoa.
Yeah, because I was like, this is the best CGI superimposing of someone's face I've ever seen. But I saw pictures of it before and after. It's prosthetics, it's makeup. They got someone who looked a lot like him, and then they just kind of twisted it with makeup, because sadly Donald Pleasance passed away a good few years ago. But like they managed to get him in. And also I love the extra scenes that they shot in so that they can twist the story to suit this one. So kind of like what happens in the middle film of a trilogy, and the same thing happened in The Lord of the Rings, this is the battle one. This is like, it's two towers, it's everyone is gone nuts, and I have never seen Michael Myers kill so many people. Like, just the opening scene with the firefighters.
Yeah, and there was a lot of controversy about this. Well, not a lot. Yeah,
and people are like, it's Michael doing his best, and I'm like, yeah, it was so vicious, so like he normally, like in the first film, there's no blood. There's very little blood.
I'm okay with this though, because I kind of feel like before that was kind of the way horror movies were, you know.
True.
There wasn't a lot of that. Now it is. There is a lot of blood and stuff like that. So that doesn't bother me as much.
And it's very action-y now.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't on the side of we should remove all of the killings of firefighters, because they're first responders and all this stuff. And I say this as the daughter-in-law of a firefighter. It's not like I'm saying death.
No, plus like,
but it was just kind of like, that's such a moot point. Like, we're watching a horror movie. You could say that about absolutely anybody. Come on now.
100%. Like, sure, in for end of, was it Halloween H2O? He basically kills a paramedic.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, it just goes to show, he doesn't respect the badge people. He just kills anyone.
Yes.
So basically, I think it just for me seemed a bit jarring, because usually Michael's the slow walking killer and then he'll come up and surprise you and stab you. But this was like, pow, 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 stab, stab, stab. And I'm like, the fuck? This man's meant to be in his 60s. Is it? Or 40s?
I don't know.
He was 20s when he was in the film. So yeah, 40. Yeah, he's in his 60s. And yeah, he's like, pew, 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 stab, stab, stab. I fling you over. I'm so super strong. And it got to the stage where the man literally couldn't be killed. And I was like, how is he still alive? And they had stupid fucking reasons as to how he couldn't get killed. And then the one thing I'm slowly working myself up to is Tommy. Fucking Tommy. He was like a child
Fucking Tommy.
Exactly. Jesus. He does more damage than Michael Myers does in this film, I think. So it's like, oh, we're the survivors. Every Halloween we do like, some people do stand up. It's like a talent show, but it's all just to remember, like, yeah, celebrate life. We're alive. I'm like, okay, no, I appreciate that. Fair fucks to you. But I feel like as if when he went up to the mic and he started talking, people were like, this again, every fucking year.
Genuinely, I would have been like, oh, Tommy's at it again.
Jesus, drink every time he talks about surviving.
Crazy El Maurice, eh?
But like, he just, but then I suppose like they have the husband and wife here with the doctor and the nurse.
Yeah.
And they're actually their lovely bit of comedy injected into it. But like you could, I suppose you'd like, we're new to the suburbs area where we've only moved in like a year or so ago. And you, for some reason, don't happen to know about this really bad murder spree that happened.
I'm 40. Sorry, you moved to Haddonfield in the day, in the age that we live in, you're going to have Googled it.
Yeah. Yeah. Murder in my town.
And especially you move to Haddonfield and work in the emergency services.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have said to you, do you know?
Yeah. Like a 6-year-old guy, a 6-year-old boy who killed his sister and then like came back, you know, when he was in his early 20s to just like kill a whole load more people just because he could. So Tommy is like, he's got a vendetta. Like as much as Laurie Strode has been waiting for Michael to escape, so is Tommy, because he's like, I'm a big boy now and I can kick the crap out of anyone because I've got this bartender bat that I like the look of. Senior Smashy, I believe his name is. That's so not his name, but it is now. And they see on the news that what happened in the first film with the people from the prison, the mental health prison, have escaped and people are on the loose and there's two that they can't get. And if they couldn't be more like day and night of a difference, no one can seem to tell. And also they have their names attached. And everyone mistakes this poor guy who reminds me of the Penguin from Batman.
Yeah.
Or Batman Returns. And yeah, little Danny DeVito running around. They all think it's fucking Michael Myers. I'm like, he's at least 2 foot shorter than him.
I actually thought that was very sad.
That was horrific. That was, to me, was a real like, but I suppose they wanted to.
But as well, we can't go too much into it because there are going to be people who haven't seen it.
Yeah, but I feel like as if I spoil it, I might just save them.
Just be like, it's shit. Although, in fairness, right, I kind of feel any person who is a lover of this genre, no matter if.
Oh, you'll watch it. Not,
you're going to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Go with the warning.
It's like doing your army service. It just has to be done.
Yeah. I actually didn't mind the story as much. I thought the acting for the amazing actors, genuinely amazing actors that are in
this movie. It was written so poorly.
I don't even know if it was the writing. I'm sorry. The acting was atrocious. There were parts where actually they looked at each other and something was done. And I was like, this has to be a joke. Like, they must have just been taking the piss out of it.
I think what this film's real problem was the fact that it got delayed so much. And then so much happened in America from 2018 to when it got released in 2021, over that 3-year period where you had Black Lives Matter and you had basically the craziness of Trump rallies.
Yeah.
And so they put that together and they were like, let's have a build up to a crazy mob scene. And basically you could do a drinking game, and the film's tagline is "Evil Dies Tonight." And that gets started either by Laurie or Tommy in the hospital.
Fucking Tommy.
Tommy. Fucking Tommy. Like I said, those three words did more damage than Michael Myers did in that entire film. But basically, a mob loves a good three-worded chant. And
yeah,
you had "Lock Her Up" and now you have "Evil Dies Tonight." And that was one where it took me away from the film. Instead of it being like, oh, like showing how this mob can represent certain mobs in America and, oh, we're relevant and we're, you know, like, whereas Candyman nailed it.
Yes.
Nailed it in the film. This one was so in your face. I was like, oh, come on. Just give it up. I felt like as if it was insulting almost. It was so, there was no substance to it. And that's what I didn't like. Like I said, it is a fantastic story about how they're doing it, bringing back in the older elements, making new stories, making little twists and changes that still fit in the narrative.
Yeah.
And then I don't think it tied itself up into a nice bow, which I do find some middle films of, when you know it's going to be a trilogy, some of the middle films can lose a run of themselves.
Yeah.
this one did in my eyes, and I have as much curiosity as I do have trepidation to see how they're going to do this while Halloween ends, because as the title goes, it's like they're like, good or bad, this ends.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, like, evil dies tonight with the chant evil, like, there's another movie.
Yeah.
The thing is, my favorite part of it was Kyle Richards.
Mm.
100%. And I don't even say that as just a massive Housewives of Beverly Hills.
No, she was like real, like, she was smart.
Yeah, I thought she was really, really good. I also kind of, like, although I genuinely love Michael Myers and I love Laurie
Strode. Oh, she played Lindsay. Sorry, that was bothering me.
Oh, yeah. I love Laurie Strode and I love any of the merchandise from Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Bar Halloween 3, Halloween's just not one of my favorite franchises and it's not one of my favorite horror movies. I totally appreciate it for what it did for the kind of like historically, and like I absolutely love Halloween 3, I love Halloween H2O, and I really like Halloween Resurrection, but I could kind of give or take the other ones. So yes, for me, I'm kind of like, yeah, it's just another Halloween movie, and it did exactly what the other ones did for me, which was not a whole amount. Like, I really like the first one because of the historical kind of stuff with it.
And it was one of the first horror films we all would have seen. It's yeah, like that. It is your entry level. It's
nostalgic.
Level. Yes.
Yeah. I love H2O. I really like Resurrection. I love number 3. But the rest of them kind of just leave me going, oh, I feel like I need to say I like it. But
no, I have to say, like with these big franchises, you are going to have some serious duds, and each franchise does have them. So like, I think it is totally safe to say, even if you love a franchise, loving it means that you will also say, oh, but they fucked up on this and whatever, and they could have done better on this film. And it's, you have to be able to acknowledge it. I think there's something wrong if you blindly accept every film of that franchise.
And the funny thing is, I'll actually go back and forth on it, because there are times when I absolutely love it and I don't like it, and it depends what mood I'm in and everything. And it's funny when you say that, because like, I kind of just think of the Scream franchise, right? And I would have very much been like, oh, number 3, I definitely wouldn't have. But actually now I blindly, like, totally take all of the 4 movies of the Scream franchise and I'm like, I absolutely love them all. But like, it's amazing how it changes over the years. Like, I wouldn't have always been like that. And definitely when I watched Halloween first, like as an adult again, I was like, oh, I could leave this movie 100%. And then I watched it again and I was like, oh no, actually I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose my whole thing is I don't have the grawl for it as much as I would for other franchises. Like, yeah, if somebody would say to me, would you take Halloween or Friday the 13th? I'd be like, oh, give me Friday the 13th.
And I'm actually all there right with you. And yeah, I always would have thought Halloween, because I had seen more of them than the Friday the 13th. And I'm like, but you have the iconic like theme song for Halloween and all this sort of stuff. And but I'm just like, once I had seen, because I'd only ever seen Friday the 13th part 1, by the time I saw part 2, I was like, oh no, I'm this one film has more in it than like, more backstory, more believable backstory than like the Halloween films were given for me. So I was like, I totally was, like that. And I think they leaned into like some of the craziness. They were like, yeah, this is actually happening, go with it.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes it was much harder to grasp that with the Halloween films.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I remember we went to see Halloween. Did we go to see? No, we didn't go to see Halloween together, but the 2018 one. But
no,
when I saw it, I really didn't like it. Like, genuinely was the same as how I'd feel about this movie. And then we watched it again together during the lockdown when there was a bit of a break. We watched it again and I was like, actually, I really enjoy it now. So I do know I'm terribly fickle about these things, but I can't imagine rewatching this movie and giving any kind of And it pains me to say that because I love all of the actors in this movie. Mm-hmm. I think they're all amazing and like really iconic actors. Like, my God, like fucking Tommy, like, don't you forget about me. Oh, my God. Gorgeous. Like, he brought a gun to school. Like, oh, do you know,
he's
like,
such a hard man.
I love him so much. Kyle Richards, I would like lick the ground. Like, Judy Greer, like,
oh Jesus,
Jamie Lee Curtis, and then even I can't remember his name, but one of the cops in it, the guy like who's kind of the main cop now this time, he's a brilliant actor as well. And there's this mm-hmm. moment between him and Jamie Lee Curtis, and I actually just wanted to vomit because I was like, what is happening? What is happening?
Yeah. It was Officer Hawkins played by Will Patton. And Will Patton has been in so much films, like so many films. He was kind of just wasted in it.
He was just very upset by it all, really. And then we also had the worst experience in the world when we came out of the most bizarre fucking shopping center in the entire world and then couldn't find a taxi anywhere, couldn't find how to get out. Then had to get my sister to ring one. We were going to walk home, but there was a lot of shit happening at the time. And it was a very yeah. scary time to be, I'm going to say, a woman in anywhere at night.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. And then loads of people started coming out of the cinema. And I won't lie, I thought we were going to die.
And then yeah, no, it flitted through both our minds.
It did, like, and I felt so like over the top, but I was like, this is how we go. And the fucking Jack in the Box in front of us going up and down every water because there was this like terror kind of maze in front of us that was off, but everything was like shut down.
A bloody circus, for the love of Christ.
Bloody Jack in the Box, every so often would come up and be like, meh. And I was just like, this is it, this is how we die. And it turned yeah. out then we actually had been waiting in the right area,
yeah.
moved, and then had to go back. And then it was like, I don't know if you are the taxi man, but I just want to go back to the hotel, which was literally 30 seconds.
I'll take any car at this stage. Yeah, but we would have like ended up living in a forest.
Oh, that was the moment. That was it. Like, we were going to live somewhere.
They had a little tree area. But like this thing had its own hotel. And I swear, it had its own Premier Inn hotel.
Yeah.
Because people would get lost trying to get out and they just spend the night there.
It was like, I felt like I was in that book that we did. That horror store book.
Oh, horror store. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like an IKEA. Or something. It was the most surreal, mm-hmm. bizarre moment. And the fact that we had just come out of one of the like movies that we totally massively anticipated and I like, couldn't wait to see. And it was a major letdown. And then we almost died in our minds. Not actually.
Yeah. I feel like as if our adrenaline was already up because we expected to be scared so much that we actually got more scared outside than we did in the cinema.
Absolutely, 100%. So yeah, definitely the worst of the worst for us.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't, and as that being the last film, I know, I don't know about you, but that was the last film I got to see in the cinema. I'm like, eh.
No, Scream was the last
one. Like, so I'm hoping that the next film I get to see in 2022 will be better. Yay, it wasn't it?
Yeah, and it'll be the first one you see of 2022.
Yes. Oh, Christ, I can't wait for that.
I'm fucking living for it. So, my next movie is from a franchise that I absolutely love. And the only thing I think I need to do to introduce it is this.
That is like the worst alarm you could ever hear.
Like, terrifying. Do you know what, it always kind of makes me laugh because whenever I think of that sound, I imagine the people living in Ireland will get this. Basically, I always think of the Angelus, which is pretty funny. But yeah, so I watched The Forever Purge, which is a continuation of obviously the Purge movies. So you have the Purge, the second Purge, then Purge Election, the first Purge, and then the Forever Purge. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that this Purge, well, you haven't seen it, Emer. So let me ask you the question of what do you think this movie is about?
Is it like they changed a law so that instead of it just being 24 hours for one day, it's go nuts forever? I don't know. I'm judging it by the title, literally.
Okay, perfect. Because I was like, I don't want to ruin anything, but I kind of feel that the movie title gives it away. So
yeah,
that mainly comes from...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at stuff on IMDb about this movie, and it was kind of like, it then gave the spoilers, and it gave a few things about it being a forever purge. And I was like, is that a spoiler? Because it's kind of in the title.
Yeah.
Again, this movie is absolutely amazing. They're incredibly bleak, and I think they're incredibly bleak considering exactly what you touched on. About what has happened in the last couple of years. So these movies would have started coming out. So the original Purge came out in 2013, almost 10 years ago. And this one just feels different. Like it all started to feel, and this, I think this shows my terrible like ignorance and like extreme white privilege here when I say this. Because what you were talking about with the whole riots and everything that happened and like the terrible election and then everything that happened with the Black Lives Movement and the horrific things that happened there that have obviously always been happening, but like they have been brought a lot more into the forefront now.
Yes.
Which is horrific to say that, like, oh, in 2013, it was just like this kind of like, oh, imagine if this happened. Whereas now it's kind of looking at it and going, like, I actually could imagine this happening, which is really terrifying.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And you look at it and you watch it. And the one thing was I was uncomfortable watching it because of
the its potential.
Yeah, and the severe level of racism in it. Jeez. And like blatant racism. And you were kind of going, like, there was an awful part of me that had a bit of like rose tinted glasses to this kind of stuff before, where it was almost like, and like I say this, where I would have been able to watch movies where there was like sexual assault in it. And just when I've gotten older, those things I can't watch anymore. So no, I'm hoping that that's just more that I've evolved totally as a person, and it's not that I was completely blind to all these things happening in the world, but I must
say, we become more aware the older we get.
Absolutely, 100%. So like it was a much tougher watch because of the more socially conscious I am, do you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
And definitely with the, exactly what you were talking about with Halloween, the fact that there was all of these terrible things that happened between the time that these movies were due to be put out and them actually coming out. So this is before, like in the first one, it was the mega, it was kind of like they were quite rich. They weren't like the mega rich. Then the second one, you had quite like elitism compared to like really, really poor society. Then in the third one, you're going into the election, which really kind of scarily kind of mirrored what was going to happen or what was happening with Trump. It was all very scary. And then you had the first purge, which was talking completely about like the really poor society. So this one goes back to the kind of the rich and the poor. So you have that kind of contrast there. And then there is also the conversation of immigrants into America. And like, where is this like whole thing of, and I don't know if it's that, because I suppose as Irish people, a lot of our like ancestors would have gone to America and it would have been this land of hope. And like if you're our age, you grew up with FIFO going west, do you know, like it was like land of dreams and land of hope, and like we've always been sold that thing. And it's amazing how much that dream has like just been like kind of gone, oh, by the way, that's not the reality, and actually there's a whole lot of people that really don't want that to be the reality, even though, let's face it, they're on stolen ground anyway. Like, it wasn't their land to begin with. And they even kind of touch on that in this movie as well. I'm obsessed with the Purge movies. I'm kind of possibly exactly what we were talking about with the Halloween franchise. I kind of blindly just go, oh my God, I love them so much. Again, a really, really good cast. They had the glass-making husband from Sweet Home Alabama in there. He was fantastic. He has a real arc. He does some learning in there. He kind of turns out to be like, yeah, maybe I'm not the best person in the world. Maybe I need to change a few things. Gives a little half-hearted apology at the end, which you're like, go on. And yeah, it's very political, which I think all of the Purge movies are, and especially now in the world that we live in. I think in 2013 it was political without us particularly knowing the politics behind it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But this would definitely be, it's more in your face, because I suppose actually we're just a lot more grown as well. Like at 22, I was in college and I was very naive to the world, even though I was 22. And 10 years later, you can look at it with a different kind of lens. But in saying that, it's not political to the part where the horror element and the story element is still there. You can still watch this. It's not fully kind of social commentary, if that makes sense. Because I know that some people wouldn't be a fan of a movie like that. But yeah, it's a great film. It starts off. It's great. And then there's a badass woman in it. She's class. She can hold guns. And she's great. And they're like, where'd you learn how to hold a gun like that? And she's like,
nice.
And she just walks away and you're like, yeah, fuck you. So it's great. It's really good. It's quite cute. It's a bit cheesy. Like, there's a really cheesy part in it, but it was actually so cheesy that it was kind of like, they know that they made that joke. Do you know that way? Like, it was very aware of itself, I think, anyway. But yeah, again, I rented that on YouTube. It's $4.99 if anybody is looking to rent it. And yeah, it was great. And again, it was one that I was able to watch with Warren. I was like, do you mind if we watch The Purge? And he was like, no, I actually really enjoy those movies.
Yeah.
He's not a horror fan. So yeah, definitely one to watch. If you're a fan of The Purge movies at all, yeah, it's one of the ones that you'll really like. There was a bit in it though that something happened and I was like, oh God, they've gone down the route of Saw. And I was very worried. And I was like, oh, is this what this movie is going to be? And only because I was like, that wasn't what the movie was before. But it wasn't. It was just one part of it. And it actually didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. But yeah, very good. Very, very good. I would definitely recommend.
Okay, apart from Scream. Yeah, but like here as a little flip twist. Apart from Scream, what films, name one horror film that you're also looking forward to coming out this year.
Ooh, Black Phone.
Oh shit, man, I was about to say that one. The trailer for that is unreal.
It looks so scary, doesn't it?
Yeah. There is also that's the mask, everything. Oh, yeah. Because Ethan Hawke looks unrecognizable in the poster. But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that one. That one's coming out in February, so we don't have to wait too long for that. There's one that's coming out now in the summertime one, and it's a Jordan Peele film called Nope.
Nope.
And I haven't seen a trailer for it. I've just seen the poster and it looks like as if it could be alien related, or I don't know. I'm just trying to judge. It looks like a cloud with a kite string or something like that attached to the bottom of it. But I haven't been disappointed by any of the films he's even like touched a finger upon.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for that either. I can't wait for the kind of prequel to Orphan. That is going to be brilliant.
Oh, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, yeah. And there is also, obviously the one we can't wait to watch the most, Halloween Ends.
I'm real curious now, to be honest.
Oh, we're definitely like, going to watch
what
it.
What can they do?
100% going to watch it. Imagine if we came out of it going, oh my God, it's a masterpiece.
It blew it all away.
It's the best thing we've ever seen.
Oscar worthy.
Imagine if it actually ended up winning an Oscar and we just had to eat our words.
Well, I mean, like, if it was good enough, I'd be like, you know, they really redeemed themselves. I'd happily go, wow, they really fixed that problem, or, you know, whatever. But it's like, I don't know. After how, when Laurie did her speech at the end when she was in the hospital, explaining, like, in her eyes, how Michael is, how he is and all that, I'm just like, I have to say they'd have to pivot a lot to fix this.
Yeah, I think so too. And then you have a couple of reboots this year as well. So I'm not sure when they're coming out, but Firestarter reboot and the Hellraiser reboot as well. There's a
and
great
Texas Chainsaw Massacre coming out on Netflix.
There's a great channel on TikTok, Horror_Chronicles. And that's actually where I got a lot of stuff for this year's movies coming out. So definitely check out that channel. She seems to really know her stuff.
Putting us to shame.
And because it is the first week back for 2022, we don't actually have 100 movie for you this week, because we're just not prepared.
Yeah, so well, thank you all for coming into the new year with us, and hopefully 2022 will scare us for non-disease reasons.
Yeah, let's just say a big fuck you and goodbye to COVID this year.
Suck a dick.
Suck a dick. Next week, we are going to be doing, I imagine, the same topic as every horror podcast.
Yeah. Big surprise.
Surprise. We are going to be looking at the 4 movies in Scream before we go and look at Scream. I am so excited. I could cry.
Yeah. And like I say, there's a lot riding on this. This has to right the wrongs of new films coming out that have had previous films. This cannot be a Halloween.
This can't be a Halloween. I can't. My heart can't take it.
No. No. I'll be done. I'll be fucking done.
I'll die.
I'll die.
I'm incredibly excited, and might just pass out because we'll be going to see it next week.
It's also like it's my birthday next week.
I know.
It's kind of like, yes, Scream, be here for my birthday.
Like, best week for your birthday ever.
100%. I'm day drinking because there's no pubs open late, so I'm just like, bring it on.
That's it. Exactly. So join us next week to talk all things Scream, and make sure to follow us on Instagram because you're home with an underscore in between each word.
And you can listen to us on most podcast platforms. If you listen to us on Apple, we'd really appreciate it if you come onto the Apple side and give us a rate and review. And if you listen to us on Spotify, some people might be able to give us a rating on Spotify. I know it might not be on everyone's mobile phones yet, but I know with some of them you now have an updated version where you can, so we'd also really appreciate that can help our ratings, get us seen out there a little bit more. And if you don't want to do any of that but you'd like to what you hear from us, then just tell a friend.
Boo. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Thanks so much, guys. Bye. been a while since we've heard that bitch.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, who's that skank? Oh, yeah.
Who's that bitch?
Sims that bitch.
Na-na-na-na-na-na.